preach tonight, and another lesson on the church. I'm going to talk tonight on this, to teach on where most false churches lost their charter or franchise. Do you know that most churches are not churches? The other day, a man came to visit our church here, buildings here, and I was not here, and I think it's when I was ill. And the security guard said, there's a man here to visit today. And I said, who was it? He said, I think his name was Kim. He said, he's pastor of the largest church in the world in Seoul, Korea. He's over here in America. And he said, he wanted to come out and see what we have here in our church and came to the auditorium and so forth. Now, the truth is, he doesn't pastor the largest church in the world. He doesn't even pastor a church. It's called the church. But you've got to earn the right and qualify to be a church. Most Baptist churches, hear this now, most churches that have Baptist on the name are not churches. The honest truth is, there are very few percentage-wise real churches. New Testament churches have a name out in front of a certain church. I'll go a step further. I'll go a step further and say this. I say that 75% of First Baptist churches in America have lost their franchise and are not churches. And I want to talk to you tonight on the subject where most false churches, I'm talking about denominations now, I'm talking about churches, local churches, lost their charter or franchise. Open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18. I want you to follow me carefully tonight because I'm going to cover a lot of ground in a hurry. And don't get mad at me tonight, because you'll have a good opportunity to do so. So I hope you won't. Numbers of you will. I don't mean that our people will, but somebody here tonight probably visiting that belongs to something that says it's a church that not. Don't get mad at me. People often get mad because they come here and find out I'm a Baptist, and I say it from the platform. That there's a sign out there that says First Baptist Church. It's a sign across the street that says First Baptist Church. One faces that way says First Baptist Church. One across the street over here says First Baptist Church. And if you want more, we'll put more out there and let you know it's a Baptist church. So you knew that before you came in. Why would you be surprised to hear Baptist doctrine in a Baptist church? And look, if you would, at chapter number 18 of Revelation, verse number 1. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Notice the word hers there. Not his, but her. You know why? Because in the Bible, a good woman is a symbol of God's people. And a bad woman is a symbol of false religion. And this is false religion. Look at verse number 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. I want you to get your listener in good shape and your logicer in good shape. And I want to talk to you tonight as I continue teaching on the church. Father, bless this lesson tonight to our strength and to the salvation of our church and to the perpetuation of what we have here on this corner. Please help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Father, teach us the Word of God and give us a hunger and thirst after righteousness so we can be filled. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to look back this way now and follow me. We're going to turn to several scriptures tonight. I want you to logic with me. I want to make one little seed statement before I start teaching tonight. And that little seed statement is this. It has nothing to do with the lesson until I finish. When I finish the lesson, I'm coming back to this one statement. And that is, don't forget it. The church is a family. The church, and I don't mean the church, all Christians. You understand that? In no way is there ever any teaching in the Bible that all Christians form a church. Because the word church means a called out assembly of people. And all Christians will not form a church until the rapture, when all of us are called up to meet the Lord in the air And we are, according to Hebrews 12:23, we are the church of the firstborn assembled in heaven. So, the church, when I say the church, I'm always talking about the local body of believers, like First Baptist Church and other churches. I'm talking about the local body of believers. All right? And the church is a family. Don't forget that now. It is God's family unit. All right? Now, I'm not gonna bring that saying about that till I get that's the last line tonight of a Bible study in 3 or 4 hours from now. So just don't forget it now, because I want you to remember. All right? Now I'm going to make several statements tonight. I'm going to make 3 statements and then start over and make 4 more. The first statement I want to make is this, and that is that a charter to be, have the right to be a called a church can be lost. A church, local church, is like a franchise. God gives us the right to be called a church. You have to meet certain conditions to keep the sign McDonald's over your building. You have to meet certain conditions to keep the sign Kentucky Fried Chicken over your building, or you lose your franchise and your right to be called McDonald's or Kentucky Fried Chicken. Now, I want to say this. It is possible for a group of people who were a church to cease to become a church, and God does not see it as a church. Open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 1, verse number 20. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 20. Page 1331. Read that verse out loud with me, please, if you would. Revelation 1:20. Ready? The mystery of the 7 stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the 7 golden candlesticks. The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches, and the 7 candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Now, what's the church called there? Okay, say it again. What is it called there? Well, it says the last line. It says the 7 candlesticks which thou sawest are the what? 7 churches. Now turn over to the next page to chapter 2, please, and verse 4. Talking to the church at Ephesus, Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." Now look at me. You see what I'm saying? God said to the church at Ephesus, "You straighten up, or you won't be a church anymore." Now you'll still meet. You'll still have church services. You'll still have the choir. You'll still have the preaching. You'll still have all your organizations. But God says you'll lose your franchise. He said you'll lose your right. And you'll lose your charter. You won't be a church anymore. Now I want to make it very plain that there's something that a church can do to cease being a church in God's sight. It doesn't matter what you say about it. If God doesn't see you as a church, you're not a church. Now, I want you to look back to verse number 5 and see what they were doing that caused them to be in danger. They were actually on probation here. Remember, therefore, verse 5, from whence thou art fallen, repent, and do the first works. All right, look at me. The first works. What are the first works that God ever gave the New Testament church to do? Jesus is going back to heaven. He's on the mount. He takes the disciples and meets with them. And he gives them the first the command. I mean, the first thing he says to them is, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even in the world." Now, that was the first work. That's the first thing the New Testament church was supposed to do. Now, listen to me. Soul winning. Now, that means what God is saying to the church in Ephesus is this. If you continue not being a soul winning church, you won't be a church at all. You'll lose your franchise. I'll make this very plain tonight. I was talking to a preacher not long ago, pardon the word preacher, but I was talking to this guy, a reverend, and pardon the word reverend, but he was more reverend than he was preacher. I heard him. And he and I were on the same program, and I preached something about soul winning, and he said after it's over, he said, "Well," he said, "is it good to have such a blend here on this program?" And I said, "What kind of blend?" He said, "Well," he said, "your church is a soul-winning church." And he said, "Mine is more of a Bible-teaching church, and we're not a soul-winning church." And he said, "Isn't it fine to have such a..." Look right this way now, all you folks, right this way. He said, "Isn't it fine to have 2 different types of churches represented here?" And I said, "We don't." We don't. Please put your pens down and listen to me. I want you to listen and look at me. Now, I have to say this every service. I don't know why I do, but there's nothing as uninspiring as the top of your head and this is the top of my head. And but I want you to hear me. I've got some things I want you to get. And all right. So I said yours is not a church. Well, he said, why? I took him to Revelation chapter 2. And God said the church at Ephesus. He said, if you don't repent and get back doing your first works are soul winning. He said, if you don't get back to doing that, I'm going to remove your candlestick out of your place and you won't be a church anymore. There are literally thousands of churches and they call themselves churches in this nation tonight who at one time were soul winners and one time had bus ministries who've gotten enchanted with the so-called deeper life movement, and it's not deep at all, it's a shallow life movement. And they got enchanted with it. And the truth is, they're just lazy. That's all, because they've taken the easy way out and no longer are soul winners. And by the way, no longer churches either. Even when I say it, a church that is not a soul winning church is not a church. Put the sign out in front, call yourself a church all you want to, but God says you've lost your candlestick, you've lost your charter. But there's something that happens before that, and that's our Bible study tonight. There's something that happens before a church quits soul winning. And that is this. Most churches ceased to be churches, and most false churches lost their charter or their franchise because they did not come out of the world. Now, that usually happens before they quit soul winning. But now listen to me carefully now. The word church is the word ekklesia. It comes from two words, the word ek, E-K, we'd spell it, ek, or E-C with a hard C, ek, and the word klesis, which spell it K-L-E-S-I-S. And the word ek means out of, and the word klesis means called. So, now hear me carefully, because this is, you never heard this in your life before, I guarantee you. The word ekklesia means called out of to an assembly. Please put your pen down here on the front and look right this way and look at me. It means a called out assembly. Now hear me carefully. It is not just an assembly. It is a called out assembly. The word panaguras in the Greek is the word for assembly. A bunch of folks get together, have an assembly, have a meeting. The word panaguras is the word for assembly. But the word ekklesia means out of, ek, and klesis, called for a meeting. It means called from a bigger group to a smaller group. That's exactly what it means. Now then, it is not just an assembly. It is, as I said a while ago, it is the leaving a large assembly and going to a smaller assembly. Don't forget that. Ecclesia. Okay, a while ago, we had some announcement. Ms. Colston said, these people, please meet me in the music office after service. Now that's an ecclesia. They're called out of this group to go meet after the service there in that group. The group that's supposed to meet here with the organ after the service. Same thing. From a larger group, there is a smaller group that's been called out. He called you out and asked you to go to a meeting after the service. The bus workers meeting is a called out people. Called out. I said number one, the charter or the franchise of a church can be lost. I said number two, usually it is not coming out of this world. Now hear me carefully. Number three, so to be coming out is as much a requirement of being a New Testament church as assembling. Now, you never heard that in your life. Coming out of a larger group to meet and assemble is as much a part of being a New Testament church as assembling. They have signs that Assembly of God, what's kind of? Where'd you come from? You see? You've got to have a larger group from which you come out of. And the word ecclesia is two words, out of and called to assemble. So, if you are not called to assemble, there's no such thing as the invisible church. You've got to assemble to be a church. But there's something more. You've got to be called out of something in order. Now, let me give you an example. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 7 and verse number 38. Acts chapter 7 and verse number 38. Don't leave me now. Acts 7, 38, page 1158. I want you to read this out loud, please, with me. Acts 7, 38. Ready? This is he that was in the church in the... Let's start again. Ready? This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel, which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, who received the lively oracles to give to us. He's talking about Moses here, but he said, this is he. Now hold it. Where was the church? Where was the church? In the wilderness. Now, listen, the Israelites could have assembled in Egypt and not been called the church. See, the Jews were in Egypt. Are you here with me now? The Jews were in Egypt. If they had, all the Jews had gotten together and met somewhere in Egypt, they would not have been a church. They would have been an assembly, but they would not have been a called out assembly. Don't you recall, we won't turn to it, but next to this chapter 8 and verse 25, God had said that Moses lead the people out. Now, said, go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. Moses goes to Pharaoh and said, let my people go. Pharaoh refuses to do so. And so God sends these plagues. And finally, Pharaoh says, okay, sacrifice to God in the land. He said, stay here in Egypt and sacrifice to your God. He said, have your assembly in Egypt. And Moses said, no, can't do that. But he said, then don't go very far. Moses said, we're going to go as far as we're supposed to go. He said, then don't take your wife and your children. And Moses said, not one of one animal is going to be left. Well, even. Now then, if they had assembled in, are you listening to me? Do you care about the Bible? Do you give a flip about the things of God? All right, listen to me. If they had assembled in Egypt, they would not have been called a church. Because the word church is a called out assembly. Now that means this, two things about that. A church assembled in the world is not a church. That's why this charismatic hodgepodge is not a church. That's why Oral Roberts doesn't pastor a church, and Jimmy Swaggart doesn't pastor a church. Why? Because they live like the world. They're assembled in the world. They dress like the world, and talk like the world, and wiggle like the world while they sing, and sing like the world, and use the rock beat while they sing. And they dress like the world. They look like a bunch of harlots. And they're in the world, but you're not a church as you assemble in the world. You're a church if you come out of the world and assemble. And there's a second thing there. Not only does the church assemble in the world, is it not a church, but a church that brings the world out with it is not a church. You see? You've got to leave the world. Leave the world's music. Leave the world's dress. Leave the world's lingo. Leave the world's fun. Leave the world's pleasure. And you say, oh, see, here's what happens. He said, well, you hear it till you want to throw up. Please listen to me. You hear it till you want to throw up. They say, well, being a Christian doesn't make you a dud. It does to the world. Yeah. You hear it, well, the Lord can use your beauty. Would you show me a verse about that? So the other day, he's a certain athlete, and I said, you ought not to be going to college about that. You ought not to go to. Nobody ought to choose a college because he gets a scholarship. And he said, but and he's a good guy too, by the way. He said, but God can use my athletics. Would you show me a verse about that? Guy came to my office one time, and he said, Dr. Howes, I've got a plan that'll save America. I said, let's have it. He said, I'm going to go to Hollywood and become a movie star. The only thing I think you could do would be Lassie, but anyway, and he said, I'm going to go to Hollywood and be a movie star. Sort of an odd-looking fellow. And he said, I am going to become the idol of the American people. And I am going to become the young person's hero, and I'm going to become a sex symbol in Hollywood. Now you said at the peak of that, I am going to get up and announce that I'm a born-again Christian, and I want everybody, all my followers, to become born-again Christians. He said, then all America will get saved. My Bible said, though one would rise from the dead, they would not believe. I'm saying that you are not a New Testament church if you are a symbol in the world. And you're not a New Testament church if you have brought the world out with you. This religion of ours today, these churches across America, I'm talking about a lot of these big churches. I'm talking about a lot of these community churches and these charismatic churches and these John MacArthur type churches. they're popular because they give you some Bible and give you some pretty good stuff and let you stay in the world, but there's not a church where you go to because you got to come out of the world in order to be a church. So the very word ecclesia, out of, is as important to being a New Testament church as assembling. It's not an assembly in the world. It's not an assembly out of the world. You bring the world with you. It's when you come out and assemble. All right? Now, I said those three main things. Number one, the charter of the franchise can be lost. I said number two, I said the main reason that churches lose their charter or franchise is because not coming out of the world, though you will lose it if you're not a soul-winning church. I said number three, so to be coming out is as much a requirement as being an assembly in order to be a New Testament church. So, no group of people have a right to call themselves a church if they're not out of the world. People sometimes get a little upset maybe with our rules here. They transfer their membership to another church. No, they don't. They transfer their membership to a country club. Baptist Country Club. Don't you let anybody kid you, brother. It's the stand we take that's unpopular. Now, they'll hide behind a heap of facades, but the real reason is two things, soul winning and separation. That's the real issue. Now, out of what? Out of what? I've got to hurry. Out of what? We come out of to something to assemble in order to have the right to keep our franchise. We've got to be a soul-winning group in order to keep our franchise, but we've got to come out. The word ecclesia, the meaning of the word church, out of and assemble. Now, from what are we supposed to come? Number one, out of the world. 1 John 2:15, and love not the world, neither things are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. John 17:6 tells us we're supposed to come out of the world. Out of it. Well, but Brother Hiles, think what this... I had a man tell me one time, he was a college football player. I'll tell you his name, named Bill Glass. Bill Glass, when he was a young man, he was a football player at college, and I had him come preach for me one Sunday in a big rally. He was a good fundamental preacher. But he said, I'm going to play professional football. And I want to make this very plain. Nobody, no Christian, ought to ever play professional football. In fact, no Christian ought to ever play any kind of professional sports. But he said, think what I can do. That's what they all say. Now, I admire a man like Tom Landry, but Tom Landry could have done more if he hadn't coached every Sunday afternoon than for 30 years than missing church every Sunday for all the football season for 30 years. But we have a chaplain, and we have chapel. Yeah, a bunch of goons get down there for about 15 minutes and soothe their conscience and call it chapel. That's not church. Church is church. Church is not going to service on a college campus. Church is church. Now, I'm saying that you got to come out of the world. But Brother Hiles, this fellow said to me, he said, I can become an all-pro football player. And he said to me, he said, I can win more. God would use that. Now, God didn't use it. The Bible didn't say, let us lay aside every weight and let us give our lives to football. So no, God's not interested in popular people. God can use a little guy like Rick Martin there to use a professional football player. God can use a little drink of water like that over in the Philippines to turn a whole nation upside down for God. God doesn't need strength. He holds the worlds in place. God doesn't need beauty. He paints the rainbow. God needs you. That's all. You. That's all he needs. But you got to come out of the world. Number two. And get ready for it. If you have a right, if you keep your franchise and keep your charter and keep being able to be called New Testament Church, now you got to come out of the world. But you got to come out of the Catholic Church. You got to come out of the Catholic Church. Turn, please, to Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17.
located church that's yoked up in the National Council of Churches with a Catholic church is not a church. Revelation chapter 17. I've got to hurry, so follow me carefully, starting with verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now, a whore in the Bible is a symbol of false religion. And this is called Babel. And I haven't got time to take you back to the 10th chapter of Genesis, show you where Babel started, and that was false religion. When they built the Tower of Babel, same thing. The Tower of Babel was an effort for man to work his way to heaven or build his way to heaven. And that's where it started. And it was under Nimrod, the starting of what became the Catholic Church. So this great whore, false religion, that sitteth upon many waters. The word waters in the Bible always often symbolizes nations. Nations. Can you tell me a church that is universal? The word Catholic means universal. That's what it means. Look at verse number 2. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. What does that mean? That means that whatever church this is, she has been a proponent of not separating church and state. She wants to control the state. Go down to South America. You'll find the Catholic Church pretty well controls the governments. You go to Italy, you'll find the same thing. You go to any nation where the Catholic Church is the strongest church, and you'll find a union of church and state. All right? So it says, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication. Look at verse number 4. And the woman, that's this great whore, was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. What does that remind you of? Go to the Vatican City. You'll see this right before your eyes. Go to the Sistine Chapel. Take this basilica. Look down at verse number 5. Having upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the Mother of Harlots, and the Abominations of the Earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs. The Catholic Church has killed more people than all the wicked kings in the world put together. Martyr! Kill! Kill them! Look down in verse number 18. I haven't got time to stop everyone. No, look at verse number 9. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Would you tell me what city is talking about? Rome is the city of seven hills. So this is a church that is a union of church and state. It's a church that's wealthy. It's a church that's all over the world, universal. It's a church that's headquartered in the city of Rome. And look at chapter 18 and verse 4 concerning her. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people. See that? Come out of her, my people. That ye be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not her plague. I am sick and tired of these television evangelists interviewing Catholic priests on the telecast. I'm sick and tired of it. It's of the devil. I said, it's of the devil. Come out. All right, if you're going to be in the New Testament church and have a charter and a franchise from God, you've got to be a soul-winning church. You've got to be a church that comes out, first of the world, second, out of the Roman Catholic Church. Now, number 3, hang on to your seats. That's where you'll get mad. You've got to come out of Protestant churches. You've got to come out of Protestant churches. Look at chapter 17 and verse 5, talking about this. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery of Babylon, the Great, the Mother of Harlots. Now, she's a whore. She's got a bunch of harlots for daughters. Anybody know of a great church in America from which has come out a lot of other churches in the world? Anybody ever hear of the Reformation? What happened? A bunch of little harlots came out of the whore. That's exactly what happened. And get mad if you want to, but the mother of harlots, well, okay, this mother's got some babies. Who are they? Methodism? Presbyterianism? Episcopalianism? Lutheranism? I don't like it. I'm not going to come back. Well, I'll let you have it while you're here. I don't believe in criticizing other denominations. I believe in preaching the Bible. See? No church is a church that came out of the mother of harlots. The New Testament church came from Jesus Christ himself. And I dare you to find the person that can prove that Baptist people came from Catholic church. I dare you. Any Protestant will take you back to where he started, Martin Luther nailed the theses on the wall at Wittenberg. I guarantee you that's the where it all started. And from that Reformation came Protestantism. And I'm simply saying the Protestant churches are not churches. First place, they don't baptize. How in the name of common sense can a church be a church if they disobey the second thing Jesus told them to do, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost? He said, Brother House, what are you teaching? Same thing that all Baptists used to teach when we had some courage. Before we got mixed up with the non-denominational crowd and they stole from us our Baptist heritage. So, not only in order to have a charter are you supposed to come out of the world, come out of the Catholic Church, but come out of the Protestant churches. I was in Minnesota preaching Monday and Tuesday. Went to the restaurant next to the motel for breakfast Tuesday morning. Got me a newspaper, I think it was St. Paul newspaper. Headline, top of the page. Catholics and Lutherans joined together. What does that mean? One of the daughters is coming back home to mama. That's exactly what it means. One of the harlots coming back to the whore. I don't even call it that much. Well, you get mad at God. He's the one who wrote this. He said she's a whore. I didn't say she's a whore. I'd have thought of it first. I'd have said it. That's not All Saints Catholic Church down there. It's the No Saints, No Church. You know what troubles I'm in. One more enemy is not going to hurt. Brother, I thank God that my mother and dad moved me to next two houses for a Baptist church when I was a kid so I could get in a church that doesn't sprinkle babies and doesn't believe you can lose your salvation and doesn't send your preacher according to what your bishop where they want him to go. I thank God for the indigenous, independent, autonomous Baptist churches. I thank God for them. With the hope for America. I bet anything, too. You hang around a while. I won't hang around long enough to see this, but most of you will. You hang around a while, and you'll see all the babies coming back home for a family reunion. You'll have a regular little house of prostitution. They're coming back. What how Martin Luther feels about the Catholics and the Lutherans getting back together. You trace the church to its origin. The National Council of Churches is basically a reunion. And you say, where's Southern Baptist fit in? You check in front of any, listen to me, you check in front of any Southern Baptist literature quarterly. They call them quarterlies. And Sunday school literature. And you'll find that that quarterly is granted by permission from the National Council of Churches. I'm saying that in order to be have your charter and your franchise to be called the right to be called a New Testament church, you've got to ecclesia. You've got to assemble, but before you assemble, you've got to come out of something. Called out assembly, out of the world, out of the Catholic Church, out of Protestantism, and then out of liberal and worldly churches. Out of liberal and worldly churches. Turn to our old favorite scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You said, Brother House, aren't you afraid if you keep preaching on these Baptist distinctives that you can't reach people? Let me give you an example. There was a day when the Catholic churches, listen to me now, there was a day when the Catholic churches said to the rest of us, like us or lump us. And they said to their people, you don't touch meat on Friday. And they said to their people, you won't marry a non-Catholic. If you do, we'll kick you out of the church. And you nuns, you'll wear dresses down to your feet. and they stuck their tongue out at the rest of the world and stood for their distinctives, and that was the heyday and the best day the Catholic Church has ever had in America. But they decided that they'd try to get popular in America and broke down their distinctives, and they lost their influence in this nation. Our college out here would not be there if Baptists and Catholics had not lost their distinctives. If they had the courage to say, this is what we believe, and you like it or not, you abide by it, you're a Catholic, and if you won't marry a non-Catholic and stay in the church, we'll kick you out of the church. Now, I don't agree with anything the Catholic Church believes. Not a thing. But, brother, I used to admire when they said, we believe this, and we don't care what the world thinks, we believe it. And if they hadn't changed, we wouldn't have Howard Edison College campus today. And Maranatha wouldn't have that campus. And the colleges and schools across this nation that have bought the empty Catholic buildings, bought buildings that are empty because the Catholic priests quit doing what I'm doing right now about the Baptist distinctives. Howells Anderson College wouldn't have 500 students tonight if we weren't distinctively different. I guarantee you. Howells Anderson College has the enrollment she has today because we said this is what we believe, and if you don't like it, you stay home. And bless God, there's enough people in America that like it to send us their students. Oh, may Baptists get back to being Baptists. I'm not saying we ought to hate everybody else. I think I told you, didn't I, about the preacher down south that wrote me, and he said, I love you, I'm for you, I don't care. He said, I feel about you, Brother Howes, like I feel about the South. He said, the South may not always be right, but she ain't never wrong. And I feel I'm a Baptist. And I'm glad I'm a Baptist. Now, that doesn't mean I hate everybody else. I mean, I'm a Hoosier. That doesn't mean I hate folks over in Illinois. I'm a Texan by birth and rearing, and I'm proud of it. That doesn't mean I hate folks in Oklahoma. I do hate folks in Louisiana and Arkansas, but I don't hate anybody else. You don't have to hate it. You don't have to hate everybody else to be proud of what you are. I'm simply saying that I want to belong to a New Testament church. And if I belong to a New Testament church, it's got not just a ecclesia, it's an ecclesia. A symbol. Well, you're at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and here I am. Verse 14. Be ye not unequally. That word unequally is an interesting word. It comes in two words, with zugos, which means coupling, uniting something together. And the word heteros, which means a different sort, like a heterosexual, same thing. Heteros, a different sort. God is saying, don't you be coupled up with a different sort. That's what he's saying. All right? Now, in verse 14, he says, don't be unequally or coupled up with a different sort. Don't be yoked up with unbelievers. In verse 15, he says, don't be coupled up with an infidel. And in verse 16, he says, don't be coupled up with idols. Now, what does that mean? It means an unbeliever is somebody that's not saved. An infidel is somebody that's not faithful to Jesus and the Bible. Don't be yoked up with unsaved people. Then don't be yoked up to denominations that don't think that Jesus is the Son of God and don't think the Bible is the Word of God. That doesn't mean we hate them. They get hungry, we'll feed them. If they're cold, we'll clothe them. But we're not going to yoke up with them in the Lord's work. We're Americans. And as Americans, we can be friendly and kind and courteous, but when it comes to our stand, we cannot be yoked up with people that are unbelievers. We cannot be yoked up with people that are infidels. And we can't be yoked up with people that says idols. What's the word idol mean? It means a likeness of God. Don't be yoked up with people that have likenesses of God. I wouldn't give you one dime for all the heads of Christ in the world. Not one dime. Solomon's head of Christ, nobody else head of Christ. Jesus is not an effeminate hippie. We're not supposed to have any likeness of God, and Jesus is God. I said one time to a fellow, had one of those in his church, and he had what they call a head of Christ, Solomon's head of Christ in his church. And I said, that ought not to be there. He said, I said, why? I said, the Bible says have no likeness of God. He said, that's not God, that's Jesus. My Bible says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, we're going to come out of those people. Now then, look please to 2 Corinthians 6 again, and I'm closing. It's verse 17. Wherefore come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Don't touch it. Don't go to the services they have when your brother-in-law is being preaching his first sermon. Touch not. Touch not the unclean thing. Now look, I like this. Remember what I said in the first starting now? I said the church is a what? Church is a what? Church is a what? Family. Okay. And will be a I will receive you, verse 17 says, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. What's it saying? It's saying this makes us a church called Daddy's Home. Jesus, God the Father said, I will be like a daddy to you if you'll come out from among them. Among what? The world. Among what? Catholic Church. Among what? National Council of Churches. Among what? Protestant churches. Among what? Liberal churches. Among what? Hollywood crowd. Among what? Charismatic crowd. And be separate. God said, you do that, and I'll come to your house. That's why we call this God's house. Because the Father's here. You know why the Heavenly Father's here tonight? Because we've come out. He says, if you don't come out, you're not a church. And I won't be a father if somebody's not a church. I told you the story again and again. I told you that. One of those little kids in Chicago came to our church, Catholic family, went back home after church, and mother said, did you go to God's house this morning? The oldest little girl said, yes, mother, we went to God's house. They had been here on our buses. And she smiled and said, God was home this morning, too. The local priest in that area went to their house and threatened to send them to purgatory if they sent those kids to First Baptist anymore. God pity that gown-wearing sissy. And so the mother was scared, so she sent them the next Sunday to the Catholic Church. They came home and she said, did you go to God's house, children? And the oldest girl said, yes, ma'am. I said, God wasn't home today. She was right. Because God said, you've got to come out from among them before I'll be your father. I'll treat you like a dad will treat his young ones if you'll come out from among them. But you run around with the false religionists and the idols and the heathen and folks that hate me and don't believe my word and don't believe my son. He said, I'm not going to treat you like a father. Oh, last Sunday morning when I mentioned our daughter Becky having lupus. Suppose that somebody had walked up to me and said, I'm glad. I hope she dies. You think I treat you like a loving dad? You think God's going to treat you like a loving dad? When you think his son's another, you run with the crowd that thinks his son's an illegitimate child? Huh? No. We may not be very popular, but God's home. We're sort of nutty here. But God's home. Yeah, God's home. You know why he's home? Because we're still winning souls. And because we're not just a sia, ecclesia, we're an ecclesia, ecclesia. We're not just an assembly. We're an assembly that has been called out to assemble. We've come from one assembly to another assembly. We've been called out. All across this nation, Baptist preachers are losing their charters. And Baptist churches are losing their charters. I was up in Minneapolis, St. Paul area. I asked the pastor, where's so-and-so this year? Where's this preacher this year? In almost every case, he said, oh, so they've gone to a deeper life kind of ministry. They don't believe in our soul-winning ministry anymore. Something else happened, too. the Holy Spirit came and took their charter away. And though the sign's on the front, God doesn't see that sign. And in heaven, you're not listed in the annual of churches. Yeah. I'm a nut. Screwball. Hated. A fool. Narrow-minded. Fanatical. Yeah. Yeah. But a pastor for 42 years, churches that come out from among them. Yeah. For 42 years, God's been home every Sunday. Shall we stand, please?